It's Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. In studio this morning with us is NHPR's cost of living reporter, Jackie Harris, to talk about some kitchen table issues. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Rick.
So, Jackie, New Hampshire has the highest number of homes for sale since the pandemic. So supply and demand, this means we'll be seeing prices going down, right?
Wouldn't that be nice? We've been in a housing shortage for a few years now, Rick. So while it's great that inventory is increasing, people still have to basically compete to buy a home here. So unfortunately, that means demands for homes is so strong right now that the prices are actually still going up.
Okay, so what is the median price right now? I know we've hit some record highs.
That's right. So for a single-family home, it's at $580,000 right now. That's obviously a huge amount of money, and the median price for the whole state has never been this high. Rockingham County, which includes parts of the Seacoast, have the highest median sales prices this summer for the whole state. The median there is $710,000.
Not surprising, I guess, when you consider Seacoast, but obviously prices like that, very hard for first-time buyers. So getting back to the increase in housing stock, Jackie, where's that coming from?
Well, for one thing, home builders are out there, building. I spoke with Jennifer Vachon, a New Hampshire real estate broker at Keller Williams, and she says she's seen more subdivisions coming into play over the last few years. And builders are being creative about how they build homes with things like accessory dwelling units, which are detached or attached structures on someone's property that they can turn into a living space for someone else. You might have heard them be called in-law suites or basement apartments, things like that. But one thing Vachon pointed out to me is that more inventory has allowed some older adults to downsize from their larger properties to something smaller, and that's really freeing up their former homes for sale.
So, Jackie, out-of-staters may be eyeing New Hampshire, thinking they're going to get a great quality of life, no taxes, but in New Hampshire, property taxes fund our public schools.
They do. And there are other sources of funding for schools as well. But property taxes really pay for the lion's share of public school costs in New Hampshire. A new report from the New Hampshire Fiscal Policy Institute finds that property taxpayers shoulder more than 70% of those costs. And that number includes both the municipal property taxes as well as the statewide education property tax that property owners pay.
I know as a longtime property owner here in the state, some of us have seen a leap in our property taxes after reevaluations, too.
Yeah, I spoke with this one woman in Hillsboro, Michelle Flynn, who will be paying about $4,000 more in property taxes than she did last year after revaluation. And this is a clip of her talking about that.
Gas prices being as high as they are, grocery prices being as high as they are, I'm struggling to pay my mortgage.
And while we discuss property owners paying more of the share of school costs, the state's share of school funding has declined in recent years. According to the Fiscal Policy Institute's report, New Hampshire now ranks last nationally for the percentage of funding that the state provides to schools.
Any changes to the system on the horizon?
New Hampshire residents will vote this November on whether they want to limit school costs on their communities. And Governor Kelly Ayotte and other State House Republicans say this can be a kind of property tax cap when it comes to those costs.
The high cost of living is especially tough for young families. And that brings us to another story that you were covering this week, Jackie, the cost of childcare and access to childcare and how that affects whether we can even attract and keep young families in the state.
Yeah, I went to a conference this weekend hosted by Stay, Work, Play. It's an organization that's, really focused on retaining young people in the state. And I will say it was very interesting to be in a large conference room with people almost all my age or younger, which is very rare in New Hampshire, which kind of indicates this problem, right?
Sure, yeah.
So anyway, one of the reasons that's rare is that raising a family is expensive, and young people are facing rising childcare costs and really long wait times for getting a daycare slot.
Have those numbers changed over time?
Yeah, I'm going to throw some more fiscal policy numbers at you.
Okay, all right, let's get wonky.
In 2025, parents paid about $30,000 on average to enroll two kids in childcare. And in 2017, it cost $8,000 less than that. So if you tuned out from all those numbers, the costs are basically just going up. And I heard some stories at the conference of parents paying $50,000 for their two kids to be in daycare. And Over the last few years, we've actually seen a decrease in open daycare programs, which, of course, just makes the situation much more difficult for parents.
Absolutely. We're talking about, you know, college funding levels here when we talk about these numbers. I mean, even if you can't afford it, and as you said, you might not even be able to find a childcare spot.
Yeah, and you might have to wait weeks, months, years to get off a wait list and finally be able to get your kid into a childcare center. That's really difficult for a lot of working parents who also have to do the math of if it's cheaper to work and pay for childcare or if it's actually cheaper to stay home and take care of their child. You know, a teacher in early childhood education actually spoke on a panel at the conference, and she said that she found it was cheaper for her to stop working and be a stay-at-home parent instead of paying someone else. And one person also pointed out to me that these issues are especially hard on teenage parents who often have to drop out of school without childcare. I spoke with a community health worker in Manchester named Louisa Legere. Her whole job is connecting people with resources, assistance, and she's had teenage clients drop out of school when they get pregnant. And even if they can afford the care, they don't have the luxury of waiting months to get a daycare spot. Sometimes their parents can't take time off work to look after their grandchildren.
Kids are expensive. I mean, even just thinking about it can be overwhelming.
Yeah, and there was a 22-year-old named John Cook of Manchester at the conference who was clearly overwhelmed about the childcare costs.
Adding up everything together, right? Like the cost of groceries, healthcare, cars, gas, like all these things together, it's like, I don't know where I fit a kid in there ever.
So basically, John says that he isn't sure he and his girlfriend could afford to raise a family here, even though he really wants to stay in New Hampshire where he grew up.
Jackie, were there any ideas floated for solutions here at the summit?
Yeah, one thing, it's not new. It's been around, but it really isn't well known. It's the state's Child Care Scholarship Fund. Residents can apply for it, and if they're accepted, the state will provide a significant amount of money towards a family's child care. It can cover costs for multiple kids from 6 weeks old to 13 years old. And a family of four making $125,000 a year would qualify for the program and would only pay up to 7% on it. It's really helpful for a lot of families, but many people don't know about it or are daunted by the application. Only a small percentage of people who are eligible for it are actually participating. So it's just very underused.
So that may be a solution and maybe help for some families. And I know we actually had a story on how to apply for that program. You'll find that on our website, nhpr.org. I'm glad we have you covering these important issues, Jackie. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
NHPR's Jackie Harris. The New Hampshire State Prison for Men in Concord was originally built in 1878. It's been expanded in the 1980s. But now state officials have stressed the need to replace it. And there's some new developments. Concord Monitor reporter Charlotte Matherly has been following the story, and she's in studio this morning to update us. Welcome, Charlotte.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What's the latest on this?
So the state has been talking for years and years about building a new men's prison. To start that process, the executive council was looking at a preliminary design study, and they've just gotten the results from that. And the state is always thinking it would build a new facility on that same property in Concord. It's about 5 minutes from downtown, very prominent on North State Street. And the state owns about 700 acres for the prison campus there and the surrounding land. So that's really where the study focused to see if it would even be buildable there. And it is, but to assemble what consultants called the most advantageous contiguous land area, the state would ideally have a land swap with the city of Concord. They would want 72 acres that are adjacent to its current property that is owned by the city. And in return, the city could get 117 acres of land along the Merrimack River. It surrounds a segment of the planned rail trail extension, and Concord already owns the skinny tract of land around the old railroad for that.
Do we know if this land swap would impact the city of Concord's tax base?
It would not, because both pieces of land are owned by governments. They're already tax exempt. There's the sense among Concord city leaders, though, that the state should look at moving the prison out of the capital city. It's a large employer and brings some economic traffic to Concord, but it also uses the city's emergency services almost on a daily basis. And Concord leaders say that the state government takes up a lot of land, including the prisons, that would otherwise be taxable and could be used for things like housing.
Is relocating the prison an option?
It's certainly an option and something that Concord city councilors and local lawmakers are looking into, but it doesn't appear to be one that the state is really considering with any weight. It's the only site that they looked at in this preliminary study, which they spent $10 million on, and the cost of the prison is so high already that I'd imagine the state would not be too keen on going and studying another site for it. There's not a lot of incentive for them to move it either. I mean, they already own most of the land and have the infrastructure right there, so it's possible, but pretty unlikely that the prison would move out of Concord.
Yeah, and imagine, you know, as delays continue, the costs just increase on this potential project. So how does this get resolved?
Costs are increasing, and that's what state officials are really concerned about and thinking about these days. When the Executive Council initially commissioned the study in 2024, the estimate was at $600 million. 2 years later, it's $750 million at minimum if they were to proceed with the proposed project. Ultimately, the ball is in Governor Ayotte's court and the legislature's court. They'll be working with the Department of Corrections on a new contract for a more detailed study and building plans at some point. But executive counselors are kind of split on what to do. You know, some are in the camp that say we need to move forward right now before costs go up even more and inch toward maybe even $1 billion. But others aren't convinced that total replacement is really necessary, and they're willing to risk the wait to do their homework and find cheaper ways to do it.
We'll be watching for more of your reporting. Concord Monitor reporter Charlotte Matherly, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And before we go today,
every day on a puff out smoke, I'm living loud, heartbreak, and hope that maybe it's God's little practical joke. And if you're lucky, he stops by. You take a little ride. Every day on a puff out smoke, or maybe it's a river flowing, taking you where you're going. No matter how you fuss and fight, you're gonna ride.
Maybe you're looking for a little music to kickstart the weekend. Well, here's a plug. This is the Wood Brothers playing a new track, Puff of Smoke, recently live in our own Studio D.
And every day in a puff of smoke, it disappears in the moon glow. Maybe you wake up or don't, if you're lucky, you'll be smiling. You'll be smiling. Take a little ride.
You can see the full set on our YouTube page. Just search for NHPR Live from Studio D. That'll get you ready for Oliver Wood when he comes back to play at the Word Barn this fall. And speaking of the Word Barn, I'll meet you back here on your radio for Live from the Word Barn tonight at 8. For now, that's the New Hampshire News Recap. I'm Rick Ganley. This is NHPR.